And I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It's your favorite homegirl, E. Reed, your favorite host who loves to smile the most. I'm back, y'all. And you know what? I want y'all to sit back, relax, turn it up, and check this out. And I'm back, everybody. That's right. It's your favorite homegirl, E. Reed, right here on Readality Radio, your favorite host who loves to smile the most. And this is a Binge and Rewind episode, and I'm going to talk to you about two shows. Uno, dos, two. So I'm going to talk about two Tyler Perry shows that are on BET, and that is Sisters and The Oval. And at first I wasn't gonna do The Oval, but I'm gonna be real, be so 100 with y'all. I just did a recording and was reviewing both shows, and I was only gonna review Sisters, and then as I got to talking about Sisters, I kind of like digressed like I usually do. Y'all know how I am when I be thinking. So I digressed a little bit, and then I started talking about The Oval. And then I was like, well, I might as well just review The Oval, because what I end up doing is I ended up just like summarizing everything that has happened so far. And this episode is going to be somewhat short, even though I'm reviewing two shows. And then when I went to hear the playback, it was like really staticky. Something was going on with my mic, so I have to re-record the whole thing. But this is cool, because maybe that was supposed to be like just a practice run, because my voice was like kind of cracky because it's super cold in here where I'm at right now. So yeah, maybe I just needed to do a test run, and that wasn't like the best one to put out there. So here we go. This is take two. So just bear with me. All right, so I'm gonna talk about Sisters. Now, for y'all who don't know, Tyler Perry came out with two new shows, and he put them on BET. And usually, we know we're used to seeing him on like TBS or OWN. You know, Oprah Winfrey Network, and now he has two shows on BET. One is called Sisters and one is called The Oval. Now, Sisters is the one where it takes place with four women, okay? I want you to watch the show, so I'm not going to give you the names. I'm just going to give you, like, generic information. All right, so you have four friends. One of them is a lawyer, okay? She's a lawyer, a divorce lawyer, and she just so happens to be having an affair with a married man, okay? Number two. You got one, the other friend, she is bitter and angry all the time. She is the epitome of bitter. If a bitter, angry black woman, or just a bitter, angry woman, or just a bitter woman, or just an angry all the time woman needed a poster, she would be it. All right. Like all the time. Like anytime she opens her mouth, whatever is being asked to come out of a man's mouth or said out of a man's mouth, she got a funky attitude. Like, why? Like, where is all this negative energy coming from? I'm gonna need you to fix that. But anyway, so that's friend number two. Now, those two are closer together within this foursome of friends, okay? Because, you know, usually in, like, a group of friends, some are, like, a little bit more cliquish, or they bond a little bit closer than, you know, others, but yet you guys all come together as a group. Y'all know what I'm talking about. This ain't new. So the third friend, okay, she is a pothead. She is a supervisor in a position at the airport. And her friend, who is bitter and angry all the time, her ex-boyfriend works at the airport with the pothead in a different department. He drives little carts around and stuff like that. You know, the carts to get you, you know, a little attendant to be taking you from one part of the airport to the other. Like, yeah, he do that job. And so, they, you know, they all know each other, you know, and everything that's going on within the scope of, you know, being friends. Everybody know what's going on. The pothead know that that's the ex-boyfriend and all that kind of stuff. All right. So now we're going to move on to friend number four. Friend number four, she work at a bank, and she is single, and she has a coworker who is a gay man, and he is so funny. Like, I mean, he gives life to the show. I'm just saying, sometimes a lot of the reason why I watch the show a little bit is to see, I said a lot of time a little bit, but a part of the reason why I watch the show is to see what he's about to say or what he's about to do or how he's about to say something, because he gives so much life to the show. but she is dating a man who came from a two-parent household, a same-sex two-parent household, and so he does things just a little bit different, but it gives her the vibe that he might be gay or he might be bisexual, which she is struggling with and trying to figure him out. And because he's saying one thing and doing, but he's doing something else, and it's confusing to her. And so she's doing all this overthinking, which I'm glad that her friend at the bank said what he said, like, look, you either gonna accept this man and get with him or you not, and you gonna leave him alone. But at the end of the day, basically quit talking about it. Like, get over it. Like, either what you gonna do? Like, you gonna piss and get off the pot. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? So now you have, so those are the four friends, okay? Now, and the pothead and the banker girl, the banker chick, they're closer in friendship, you know? So they're a little bit bonded. But when they all four get together, you know, it's a whole sisterhood kind of a thing. You know, it is a beautiful thing in the scenes that they show where they're all together, except for the scene when they were at the club and, you know, there was a little spat because the ex-boyfriend of the bitter, angry black chick, the ex-boyfriend was homeless, you know. And the pothead friend, she found out about it through the grapevine at the airport. And so she offered to let him move in with her and help her pay the rent. So it was like a win-win for everybody. Well, he got stupid lit one night because he was all upset because he tried to go make amends with his ex-girlfriend. But she was sitting up there talking to a whole nother man. And she embarrassed him because she belittles him because, like I said, she's so angry and bitter that every time she opened up her mouth, nothing but venom spews out her mouth. Even in her tone of voice, it ain't nothing but venom, okay? She got issues. Anyway, so he was all upset. He went back to the place, and then he got stupid lit. And then the pothead chick was getting ready to go out to go meet the girls. And in old boy's litness, he spilled the tea and said that her friends that she's getting ready to go meet, her sisterhood girls, they've been talking about her behind her back. So he spilled all the tea. Now she feeling some kind of way. Now she all mad. They don't know why she mad. Then she's, you know, shares like, oh, you've been talking about me, woo, 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 and saying all kind of stuff. And some of the stuff, I guess, they say to her face. But come on now, let's just keep it all the way 100. Make it, you know how, like, you could say something behind somebody back, but then when you say it to their face, it might not be with the same tone. You know, so it makes it a little bit more of a softer blow or a little bit more a gentle blow to talk about your friend or about somebody. But then behind their back, you know, you going all the way in throwing the shade. So that, I think that's what's going on. But she feeling some kind of way because, you know, because they supposed to be partners, you know, kind of a thing. And then she feeling some kind of way because the girls don't really, like, open up and, you know, have a more open bond. Like, she doesn't like the fact that, you know, the girls are kind of cliquish. You know, the lawyer chick and the angry chick are more closer together. So they tell each other certain things and confide each other that they don't share with the whole group. And I understand that. I do. But that should be something that y'all need to talk about as a group to set the boundaries to make everybody okay with it. Listen, I say this all the time. Relationships ain't nothing but a business transaction. That's all it is. I don't care what kind of relationship it is. Because when it comes to business, you got to have all the details and the understanding so you can have a win-win situation. A relationship is no different. I'm just saying. Whether it be romantic or a friendship, as long as everybody on the same page, know the boundaries, know the limitations, know the expectations, it should be smooth flowing until there's a bump in the road because maybe something that wasn't discussed, didn't think needed to be discussed, or it just happened and now we got to deal with it, you know, that kind of a thing. So now she feeling some kind of way or whatever, and then when she come home that night, old boy in his litty little state, he go to the bathroom. Mind you, now he all butt naked, okay? And he had passed out in her bed, bucket naked. And he go to the bathroom. She finally be like, she finally was like, oh, I can go lay in my bed because he done went in the bathroom. He gets out the bathroom, gets back in the bed, and gets in the bed with the piehead friend and thinks that he having sex with old girl when he ain't really having sex with her. But what she do with her pettiness, okay, P-E-T-T-Y, with her pettiness, right, what she do is she make him think, and she also got her friends to think that she had sex with him, because that was one of the things that they expect out of her. They expect her to basically be a hoe, which I find really interesting, because one of them is dating a married man. Like, what'd that make you? And then it get even more juicy with the whole girl dating a married man, the divorce lawyer, because the wife got a private detective, and the private detective sat up there and came back and gave her a whole bunch of information. The divorce lawyer gave her some information to let her know, like, yeah, he cheating on you with somebody else. He see you in the morning, but he see another chick in the afternoon, mind you. So that means he was married and was cheating on his wife with two women. And that's one, and one of the women is somebody that the girl who worked at the airport, the friend that worked at the airport, she has seen that girl, which was confirmed in in this episode. So yeah, so and then got the nerve to be mad. This is the part I don't understand. You're having an affair with a married man. He's having an affair with somebody else out on you, and he done left his wife to get with you, and you mad because he cheating on you with somebody else? You're mad? Why are you mad? What they say, the way you got him is the way you gonna lose him. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, she's mad for what? Like, I don't know. She mad for no reason. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, y'all can go ahead and check that out. I'm pretty sure if you don't have BET, then you can probably find it on YouTube or something. I'm telling you, you can pretty much find anything on YouTube, just about anything. Anyway, so yeah, there's that. And so on to the Oval, like really, really quick. I ain't even gonna get in no detail because the show is slow starting and the momentum is just like, oh my God, like, will you pick up the country pace already? So the Oval, of course, is taking place in the White House, hence the name, the Oval. And so you got the president, his wife, and they got two teenage kids. They got a daughter and a son. The son is a real creep dude. He give you that real creepy vibe. You know, if you watch You on Netflix, he give you that kind of a Joe creepy vibe or whatever. So yeah, there's that. And then the daughter, she is like just a willful, ungrateful little brat or whatever that throws temper tantrums and ain't got no emotional control over her, you know, all of that. And the mom and her can't get along for nothing. Like, they despise each other. They speak venom. They spew all of this nastiness out of their mouths and all like that. So they don't get along. And then you got, and then you have the, of course, the president. And then he cheats on his wife. And he got a whole mistress and everything like that. Now, the wife and the president and his wife, they hate each other. Like, they hate each other. Like, all caps, hate. H-A-T-E. Like, they seriously hate each other. Despise one another. And this is all for, like, show. You know, being together and stuff like that. And then you got the secret service men, and they're all like split between, because some of them follow everything the president say, and then we come to find out the wife got some of the secret service men on her payroll and can get stuff done. Then you got the vice president, which I think the vice president is gay, and then his wife, she is, I guess, a dress designer or something like that, and dresses the first lady, and she had an affair with somebody and was set up by somebody that we don't know for her to have the affair and get caught up in whatever mess this is supposed to be. That ain't even been explained yet. Don't have no clue. And the the Secret Service. Oh, then you got the staff of the White House, and then they got their own little drama that's going on. So it's like a different, it's different little key characters, but they all are kind of intertwined with each other, of course. But here's the thing. The show is so slow. The acting is so bad. And I don't mean bad as in like they can't act, but I mean like their timing. So maybe I should rephrase that. Their timing and how they interact with each other, they don't have a flow yet. And I think that's what I'm waiting for, because I understand how soap operas are. However, what I don't agree with is how some of the shows that Tyler puts out, like The Oval, because it's only on once a week, for it to be that slow to get to the point of the story, to move forward in the storyline, has never made sense to me. Because he's done that with the have and the have nots too. Like, I remember when Wyatt OD'd that one season, and for like 7 episodes, I think, like half the season, or maybe he was in the hospital or something like that, but he was like in a coma for like 7 episodes. Like 7 episodes? And so I can understand if you're on every day, but not when you're on once a week. And then at some point you end up taking like a 4-month, like a 2 to 3 month hiatus, and then you come back. Like that's never made sense to me on why Tyler does it. But, you know, there's got to be a method to the madness. Not for me to understand, but whatever. So I respect it. But yeah, so it's kind of like The Oval, if they just kind of like timed a little bit better and flowed a little bit better, I think it would be more interesting to watch, because he definitely lit something last night on the episode and how he wrote it, because there was a question on social media that's been floating around that's asking who's the worst villain, Victoria on The Oval or Veronica on the Have and Have Nots. Now, when that question was posed, when I seen it, we really didn't know, for the simple fact that Victoria is evil. Yeah, she spits horrible venom out of her mouth every time she talks. Like, she just is just so very vile. She's so vile and surly. Like, she's just evil, right? However, we've never really seen an evil act. She slapped her daughter, I believe it was, but she slapped her daughter. You know what I mean? We didn't really see nothing evil when you're talking about comparing her to Veronica. Veronica done blown people up. Veronica done got people shot. Veronica done had her own son beat up. Veronica done got people raped in jail. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, Veronica is a beast. Veronica put a bomb in a car and almost blew up her ex-husband. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, Veronica's a beast. But last night, hold on. Last night, Victoria on The Oval to prove a point. Let me tell you something. This woman, to prove a point to her daughter for running away out from the White House, which she's not allowed to ever leave the compounds of the White House, but snuck out with her brother's help to go to the high-rise projects where her boyfriend was. When the first lady got to her daughter and her had an argument in the car. She said something to her daughter. And her daughter opens up the car door while it's moving. It was moving slow, but it was still moving. And she jumps out the car and rolls and messes herself up. She ain't had no broken bones or nothing, I don't think. Certainly didn't look like it. And if it was supposed to look like it, her acting wasn't good enough for it to look like it. Just saying. Go figure. But First Lady tells Secret Service people, get her in the car. They get her in the car. She has a conversation with her daughter, because her daughter's like, oh, I'm in pain. This hurts. I need an ambulance. I need this. I need that. She turned and look at her daughter and she say, listen, you don't know nothing about no pain. You grew up privileged. You are a spoiled little brat. You don't know nothing about pain, but you will. And so We don't know what that means. We just think this is a conversation, mother to daughter, you know, that typical conversation you have with your teenagers when they show how bad their life is compared to how bad it actually could be, but yet they don't appreciate how good it is in the moment. You know, we've all had, we know this conversation. So, at the end of the episode, the first lady then got the Secret Service men that's on her payroll to go to the high-rise projects, get that boyfriend of her daughter, get her daughter's boyfriend and three of his partners, round them up, go in their house, in their apartment, and shoot all of them on video, one by one. Pop, 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 pop. And we see in the preview next week that the Secret Service dude sent the video to the mama, and the mama gonna get a video, gonna let her daughter see the video. And the daughter's like, "What did you do?" And then the mama gonna say, "Oh, I'm gonna teach you what pain actually is." Man, let me tell you something. That right there, now that's a Veronica move. That is a Veronica move, because she's playing the game. She just played the game that Veronica usually play, where it's like, I'm not going to directly hit you. I'm going to hit you indirectly, but you going to feel it. And it's going to feel like I directly hit you. That's the kind of game Veronica and Jim Cryer and them be playing over there on the have and have nots. So I appreciated that, Tyler. I ain't even going to front. Tyler, let me tell you something. I respect you and everything you do. I've been following your career for a really, really long time. Okay? Let me tell you something. The last few minutes of the Oval last night made the cringe watching of these actors trying to find their flow and their groove this first season worth it. If I had to go through all of that for you to give me them last few little minutes to let me see how gangster Victoria is. Thank you. I appreciate that. I ain't even gonna front. I appreciate that. So that's all I got for y'all right now. This is a review of a binge and rewind review of the show Sisters and The Oval on BET that are both written, produced, and directed by Tyler Perry. Yes, he's done it again. So with that being said, let me get up off of here. I'm gonna catch y'all next time. I might review this next week. We'll see how it go. Because what I just did right now, I just summed up maybe 9 to 10 episodes in one review. And this review is only about like under 30 minutes. So, and the shows are 60 minutes or an hour a piece, you know, give or take with commercials. So I'm just saying, maybe I'll do this every like few episodes or something and then catch y'all up, you know, because it's not like it's not a daily show. It's not a daily soap opera. It's a once a week soap opera. So, yeah, go figure. All right, I'm going to get up off of here. We'll figure it out. Y'all let me know in the comments. And do you watch The Oval? Do you watch Sisters? What do you think about it? What do you think about Tyler Perry being able to do all of this at one time? Movies, stage plays, like doing all of the writing and then still be a father. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think about that? Being a business mogul and all that kind of stuff. Do you even like Tyler Perry? Some people don't like Tyler Perry. Do you live in Atlanta? Have you ever been to Tyler Perry Studios? I think they're going to start doing tours too. So yeah, let me know in the comments. You talk to me, I talk back. Y'all know that. All right. Thank you so much. If you are listening to this on Readality TV on YouTube, I appreciate it. You know, go ahead and check out some more videos, because on Readality TV, there's a lot more videos than just the reviews and the My Two Cents episodes. Like, I have audio stuff on audio satisfaction, visual satisfaction, ASMR stuff. Like, there's all kind of stuff. So explore, you know, and you know, let me know what you think. If you like it, save it, share it, thumbs up, thumbs down. I'm here for all of it. Okay. And if you are listening to me on Spotify or any other platform. Thank you so much for listening to me. I appreciate it so much. I'm about to get up out of here. I know I say that a lot, and then I start talking about something else, but that's just how this goes when you are my friend, my homie, because I'm your favorite homegirl who loves to smile the most, all right? I'm going to get up out of here once again, finally. I love you. I'm going to talk to you later. Bye.